love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
Thank you. Greg Howard, John Baer, and Sean Fenton, all of the Dayton Sacred Harp singers. And what was the name of that tune?
What Wondrous Love.
What Wondrous Love. And I gather from the selections that I have here, I have a great recording, actually, Sean, that you made from last year's convention, the 2008 convention, the next one. Or I guess it was 2 years ago, wouldn't it be?
Right.
If you do the math on that. But they do tend to be predominantly religious, gospel, and hymn songs. Now, was that always the case, or was that just where, in the end, this song tradition was preserved?
Yeah, it's always been religious.
This tradition
started as a way of teaching people to sing sacred music, and there was a concern that the quality of church music production was declining in colonial America. So this was a pedagogical tool to help improve that, and then it just became tradition in what was then the West, the frontier, and then in the South, especially, where it's been an unbroken tradition, and it's still actively being done.
What do you attribute to unbroken in the South, and yet certainly being, I hear a lot about shape note singing, about this Sacred Harp book up to the North. What do you attribute this sort of resurgence? Certainly it has never been gone, but there's just a lot more people and cross ages, young people, older people, and it just seems to be a real magnetic style.
Well, Alan Lomax, who was, he went around all throughout the South and recorded, in my home place, Eastern Kentucky, like old regular Baptist singers.
A real archiver of music.
A real archiver of music. And actually, that's how we started, was with the 1959 Alan Lomax recording of, was it the folks down in Sand Mountain?
Alabama.
It was
the Union Convention.
The Union Convention in Alabama. And it was his... He started it, and then, he started the resurgence. And then with the folk movement that started also, remember with Hootenanny and all those
programs. Oh, sure, yeah.
Pete Seeger and Gene Ritchie. And
the Great Folk Scare of the 60s, yeah.
And that's when it started moving back up into the North, okay?
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, there were big singings, like up in Chicago, for example, and in Minneapolis. And we didn't hear about it until 1999. I didn't before we started here in Dayton.
So this is the Ohio State Sacred Harp Convention, Shape Note Singing Convention, that's coming up this weekend. So I'm presuming that these take place across the country and every state has its sort of, get-together. But this is a pretty big deal. There'll be a lot of people present. It's worth noting that, isn't it, everybody sits sort of in a three-sided square. It's all the way around. All the way around.
So it's
a four-sided square. So that it's not as though you're performing for an audience. You're there to be a part of the song, a part of the singing. And I really love that idea. So how many people can you hold in the main singing hall when everybody comes from around the state?
My goodness, Sean, what was it in 08? We had about 200 people on Saturday. A little bit less than that on Sunday, because people come from all over the place to come to these conventions, not just Ohio States, but, of course, state conventions all over. And we had people from Alabama, certainly people from Kentucky. We had people from Chicago. We had people from Missouri. The St. Louis singers are fabulous. Where else? Georgia.
Michigan.
So it's really, they're just little beacons wherever they are, and people come from miles around. Well, you can get full details, find out more about this convention and more about being a part of it at DaytonSacredHarp.com. That's online at www.DaytonSacredHarp.com. The festivities get underway this weekend, the 20th and the 21st, at Golden Gate Park, and that's in Brookville on Arlington Road. But you can find all that information online. I have found it, remember, of course, I'm sure you do, the Cold Mountain soundtrack. They actually had some of this style of singing, which would have been pretty prevalent during the Civil War, correct? It was at least somewhat common at that time. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of music, you can see even today, a lot of Stephen Foster, for example, is a great composer of sheet music. But most common, particularly in the South, the most common thing that were sung by Civil War soldiers were hymns, because that's what everybody knew.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knew hymns. You know, we hear today, you know, marches and marching songs and all that kind of thing that the music was published and even performed during the war. But for the common soldier, the common guy out there carrying a gun, what he sung mostly was hymns. And particularly if he was a Southern soldier, he indeed would have sang Sacred Heart music.
Isn't that cool? I was wondering earlier how you got Sacred Heart, because I've always thought of the style as shape note, and I see that the names of your books, you're holding each of you this very cool book, kind of long, rectangular, just packed with tunes, and it's called Sacred Harp, the Sacred Harp.
Right. Harp actually refers to the Sacred Harp. Harp actually refers to the book itself. They call these books harps.
Oh.
There is different harps type books that are still being sung out of today. Kentucky sings out, of course, the Sacred Harp, but they sing out of another harp-style book called Christian Harmony, which was actually the first shape note book that was published.
Now, this has been in publication since, Sean has some interest. Sean, by the way,
not.
Is a professor of music at Miami University, Sean Fenton. So you certainly have some perspective and context for all this. But you did mention to me, by the way, I thought Sacred Harp was the human voice. I thought, you know, to raise your voice would be one of the more, that's what I just imagined. Well, I'm glad to know the real story. But
it's actually the book.
The book itself. So, I have one queued up here, Sean, that we had talked about. This is a recording you made at the convention in 2008, and it's called Stratfield. And then each of these has a number. I guess that's the page number in the book.
Right, yep.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about this tune.
This is one of the older style tunes, actually, that goes back to the colonial period, and it's a fuguing tune, which means it starts like a hymn. All the parts sound together and sing similar rhythms, but then about halfway through, we come to a second section where the parts enter in a staggered fashion, and they each imitate the other parts one at a time until they're all in.
Kind of like a round, almost.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of that, and you can find out more information at DaytonSacredHarp.com. Let's listen. some shape note singing from the big convention 2 years back, and the this year's one is nigh upon us. Gets underway this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's February 20th and 21st. It's a great treat to have in the studios members of the Dayton Sacred Harp group, and everyone's welcome at these. Correct, everyone, anyone can come. You do not have to be a singer.
Absolutely, yeah. We will teach you what you need to know.
Many of us are not.
Right.
No. Oh no. Well, I just love the idea. It gets underway Saturday, and there's a Saturday evening social, and then things get underway full on Sunday morning with everything wrapping up around 2:30. Again, full details at DaytonSacredHarp.com. And I guess you can get on there and find out why. See, I find it amazing that there's no do, because isn't that the base note of the key? But you started to tell me a little bit about that. There was competing schools, but presumably people could stop by the website, DaytonSacredHarp.com, and find out a little bit more about that. Is that true?
There's links to other national sites like fossolaw.org.
Yeah,
that has some history of it and some explanation about that.
Yeah, kind of interesting. But I love the idea. Everyone's welcome. The big convention this weekend. We're talking with Greg Howard, John Baer, and Sean Fenton, who are sort of keeping the torch going with the Dayton branch, and certainly getting ready for a really great and large convention this weekend. Gentlemen, would you be so kind as to sing one more for us?
Sure. This one's called Mirror. And it was composed in 1720.
Fa la so fa so la fa. Fa so so la. La fa so la so. So la la so.
So you got a pitch, the pitch picker, and sort of you're at their whim. It's the Dayton Sacred Harp Singers. So glad for you to stop by and share a little bit of what you do. Everyone's welcome, and there's full details about this weekend's big get-together, the Sacred Harp Shape Note Singing, 18th Ohio State, 18th annual, so almost 20 years now.
Right.
Well, thanks so much for keeping the flame burning, and keep us posted on the goings-on, will you?
We sure will. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you so much.